There's a reason why protein and fat are essential macronutrients. Because our body needs them. Can't create protein, can't create fat. We have to ingest it in order to survive.
And that's where it comes down to, what should we be doing? Should we be doing high-fat carnivore or high-protein carnivore?
The challenge and the struggle, and this is one of the biggest things that I try to get people to understand, is that whether it's fat or protein, when we talk about high, low, average, medium, whatever, the problem is, and I started out really as an experiment to see if it would help with IBS, urgent bowels. Within those 90 days, the IBS completely went away. Urgent bowels completely went away. I lost a ton of fat. I had a lot of chronic issues from pain, injury, over-exercising. There were so many other things that were impacted in my quality of life by not eating vegetables. It absolutely blew my mind.
I know that people watching right now, they're thinking, tell me the number. Tell me the number. How much should I be eating?
The only rule in this whole discussion, the only rule, the one thing that everyone absolutely has to follow is...
Just a quick one, Dr. Anthony Chafee and Professor Bart Kay is joining us for the September Carnivore Challenge. Now, if you're new to carnivore, maybe you might have questions about how much protein, how much fat you should be eating, as well as troubleshooting on this carnivore lifestyle. Well, you can ask all of your questions to these wonderful doctors, as well as learn from our carnivore coaches that have been doing this lifestyle for over 10 years. So, if you'd like to join the September Carnivore Challenge, there is a link in the description with 20% off just for you. Coach Bronson, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Rian. I love being on with you. It's always a good time.
I always love having you back. Now, when people start a carnivore diet, the main thing is that they hear about is the different ways to start carnivore. And there's many different ways. The main things that we hear about is high-fat carnivore or high-protein carnivore. And I'm sure this can be very confusing to many people. So today, Bronson and I are going to talk about the differences between high-fat carnivore and high-protein carnivore to help you achieve your weight loss goals and also to heal on carnivore. And we're also going to talk about some troubleshooting tips right at the end. But before we get into all of that, Bronson, would you like to share about your amazing transformation on a carnivore lifestyle?
Yeah, sure. So I've been carnivore for a little over 5 years. And I started out really as an experiment to see if it would help with IBS, urgent bowels, and just the mess of my life that stuff was causing. So it was a, let's try this for 60 or 90 days, see what happens. Within those 90 days, the IBS completely went away. Urgent bowels completely went away. There were some other things that happened as well. I lost a ton of fat. I had a lot of chronic issues from pain, injury, over-exercising, a bunch of different things that also went away. Like, there were so many other things that were impacted in my quality of life by not eating vegetables. It absolutely blew my mind and caused me to go down a rabbit hole that led me to where I am today. You know, written a couple books, done a ton of research, got some case studies published. Like, so many different things that when you have such a drastic change just by changing what you're not eating, right? It's like, so what is going on here? Everything I thought I knew about nutrition completely out the window. And then I got to relearn everything and figure out what's actually going on. And in that process, not only did I learn new things, but the things that I thought I knew were the questions I had about health and fitness. You know, I owned a CrossFit gym at the time. I've been in fitness for several years. I've been coaching people, helping people improve their quality of life. And still there were questions I had about, well, what about this? What about that? And every single question has been answered since then. So carnivore not only helped me improve my life and my health, but it, in the process of understanding why carnivore works, answered a lot of the other questions I had about health and fitness in general. That's allowed me to really put more complete packages together for people when I work with them.
Now, you did mention something quite interesting, why carnivore works. Can you elaborate for people just thinking about carnivore or starting this lifestyle? Why do you think carnivore is so potent and powerful to transform our lives?
Because it's based and built on the essentials. And the biggest problem that we have in a lot of things in society is we do things way more than we need to be doing them, right? If you take a minimalist approach, right? And I know this is something you're familiar with. If you take a minimalist approach to living your life and you focus on doing the things that you need to do, in order to function, then you actually, it's like in your lifestyle, in your home. If you get rid of all the things in your home that you don't need, you realize that your home becomes less stressful. You actually start to building and developing a place of a sanctuary and peace instead of all of this clutter, all these other things going on. And it's the same thing with our body. When we give our body just what it needs, our body starts working for us instead of working against us. And that's really, I think at the root, that's really what the carnivore diet's all about, is giving your body what it needs and not giving it the other stuff that's making it do things it doesn't really want to do. Just because the body can do something doesn't need that it mean that it wants to or should or operates more efficiently or optimally doing that thing, right? You know, we need to process macronutrients in order to support function. If we're processing macronutrients that increase the work without increasing the function, what's the point?
I completely agree. And we're talking about what is the most important thing for our body. It's all about protein and fat. And that's where it comes down to, what should we be doing? Should we be doing high fat carnivore or high protein carnivore? Because I think that many people understand we don't need the carbs. The carbs is more of the useless thing or the macronutrient that we really don't need for survival. So when now it comes down to high protein versus high fat, I think we really need to understand first the importance of what does that mean? So the first question I'll ask for you is, what does high protein carnivore mean?
That's a good question. And it's the same answer for both. Okay, because here's the thing, the answer being an undefined term that is thrown around the community like willy-nilly, that nobody, everyone just says this or that, what does it mean is completely subjective to the individual, okay, or the individual's understanding of nutrition or diet or where they've been or what they know, right? So for me coming in, right, high protein may be just getting to 100 grams a day, where I've been doing 60 grams a day. That's 40 extra grams a day is high protein. Now, compared to someone else who may be used to doing their body weight in protein per day, right? They're super high protein compared to me, okay? The challenge and the struggle, and this is one of the biggest things that I try to get people to understand, is that whether it's fat or protein, when we talk about high, low, average, medium, whatever, the problem is we're using an arbitrary measure of what someone has decided is the right amount for everyone. It's completely pointless. It's a pointless discussion to have. Honestly, the debate between high fat and high protein is a, in my opinion, it is a pointless waste of time to have the discussion or to be struggling over which one should I be doing. Who cares? Because there is no objective measure for what is right for an individual. It is absolutely 110% subjective. What does your body need? And that's what you need to give it. So high protein could mean eight different things to eight different people. High fat could mean eight different things to eight different people. Whether it's higher fat than they've been doing, whether it's higher fat than a set mark, say their body weight, or protein that say it's their body weight, whether it's higher than someone else that they're comparing themselves to, whether it's higher than the standard nutrition guidelines of 6.6.8 grams per pound of lean mass, whatever it is, whether it's a higher percentage of 30-20 versus 30-70 versus 80-20, it really doesn't matter. So that's my stance on on the discussion.
I totally understand where you're coming from, because I think that people hear a label and then they think, oh, that must be a certain program where it means eat this number or this number. And I think that's why we're talking about this, to understand, don't think about labels. Even with a carnivore lifestyle, we understand it as a diet. Think about, understand the foundation of what you're actually trying to do, which, as Bronson is saying, optimize your protein and optimize your fat. So when it comes to the protein, if you're eating, let's just say it's 60 grams of protein, 70 grams of protein. As Bronson is saying, if you're eating 100 grams of protein, then you're eating a higher protein diet. But here's the question for you. When you throw in the fat along with that, which is you're increasing your protein, but then you're also increasing your fat, then people are thinking, well, should I be increasing my fat, increasing my protein? Which one? What should I be doing? And then 80-20 carnivore. And I hear in my YouTube comments, I know this is a lot.
No, you're good, because I was literally thinking this is where I wanted to go next. So you're going right into it.
Good. Then on my YouTube comments, you hear, oh, 80-20, what is 80-20? So the 80-20 is 80% of calories coming from fat, 20% of calories coming from protein. And this is coming from the wonderful Dr. Elizabeth Bright, as well as other, you know, experts like that, that talk about the high fat. So from that perspective, can we gain from you a little bit more clarity around that broader perspective?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh, okay.
So here's the thing. Tying your nutrition to a number that doesn't actually exist and your body can't use is a mistake. Calories mean nothing to you, to the human body. So it doesn't make sense to tie the amount of nutrition that we're actually getting through macronutrients to the calories. The percentage of protein and the percentage of fat that your body gets are not tied to each other, number one, and they have nothing to do with the amount of energy that you're taking in, because they are not strictly energy. So we can't, it doesn't make sense to have one conversation, which many people in the keto space understand, is that calories don't really matter. Yes, there is a thing, as you know, calories are there. Overall fuel intake can play a role, but it fuel intake compared to functional intake and what our body uses with the macronutrients is a percentage of the equation. It is not the whole thing. So then if we say calories don't matter as much as we thought they did, we then can't base the entire process of our macronutrient intake on a percentage of calories. It's a logic circle that doesn't make sense. Okay. So calories don't matter, but I'm going to base everything I do on calories. That doesn't work. So what we have to look at is, what does your body actually need? Your body needs protein, your body needs fat. And I like to use the car analogy. Okay, you guys, you've probably heard me talk about this before. I don't go to the mechanic when I'm getting my car worked on and tell him I need 20% oil and 80% gas. He's going to look at me cross-eyed. What does that mean? We're going to say I need 17 gallons of gas, specific amount of fuel in my car. I need 6 quarts of oil in my car. It's a specific amount that the car actually needs and can utilize properly. They have nothing to do with each other. So the amount of protein that you need is not tied and has absolutely nothing to do with the amount of fat that you need. They are individually used, utilized, and processed by the body, and you need a certain amount of both. So you got to figure out, how much protein do I need? How much fat do I need? What are my goals? What am I trying to do? And we'll talk about the different, you know, use cases and scenarios of what may work for individuals, but we talked about this before. It's what is adequate for your goals? What is adequate for your lifestyle? What can you sustain and maintain in, as far as your intake and enjoyment of food and all the other good things? Because, you know, if you can't keep it going, it doesn't make sense to do it. That's a whole nother discussion.
Absolutely. And I think that you mentioned, again, talking about the protein and the fat. I think people, as you're saying, they're so hung up on the numbers. Tell me the amount that I need to eat. We're going to try to talk about that to give you a more tailored option. I'm going to try to get it out of Bronson. But I think prior to going to those numbers, it's really important to understand the importance of protein and fat and the role that they actually have in our bodies, because that's going to help people watching understand why we actually need this, why it's important to prioritize nutrient-dense foods. So let's start off with protein. Why is protein so important in our body?
It's okay. So let's start at the high level. Okay. So at the high level, we basically have two main functions. Now we'll get into some of the more detailed things as we go, but at the high level, we're just literally talking about two main systems in our body. One is the anabolic system and one is the catabolic system. Basically building our body and then doing activities and breaking things down in order to provide function and energy. So fuel primarily in those two circumstances is a catabolic material, right? We burn it, we break it down and provide fuel for our body to do things. And protein is primarily used to build, recover, repair, and improve function of how things are working. So it's like the car again. You know, fat is the gas, protein is the oil. I need oil to keep my engine running. I need gas to keep the car to have the to fuel that actual function and the my car to go from point A to point B, right? So that's at the high level. That's really what that is all about. When we get a little bit further down into the weeds, we realize that some of those things are a function of hormones. They're a function of metabolic things that we don't tend to think of when we think about macronutrients. A lot of times people think about macronutrients, protein, carbs, fat, whatever, and we just think about fuel. But when we look at what is protein, protein helps build muscle. Protein is the substrate that is used for enzymes. So enzymatic function, right? When we talk about enzymes, we talk about every chemical reaction, every biological function in our body needs things to help break the chemical structure of materials down to then be part of all these processes, right? Lipase, protease, lactase, all of the different things that help break down the materials in our body so they can be used for metabolic function come from amino acids. So if we don't have enough protein in our system, then our base core metabolic chemical reactions in our body don't happen, which is, it's kind of crazy, right? We need protein just to function. And when we talk about function, a lot of times people think about muscles. Well, it's not just muscles, it's your entire metabolism. Other things that we need for protein. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but there are two different kinds of hormones. There are amino acid-derived hormones and there are fatty acid-derived hormones. So amino acids like tryptophan and some other of the essential amino acids form all of the proteins that have to do, if you know, and here's a good way to tell, any hormone that ends in INE, like epinephrine, right? Those are coming from amino acids. If we don't have enough amino acids, then we can't make all the hormones, right? Just like fat, there's a bunch of hormones that come from fat that, and all the hormones that end in one, like testosterone or cholesterol or estradiol. Okay, if they end in an OL or an ONE, then they come from fat. So, hormone function and hormone activation. This is another thing. When we have a combination of protein and fat in our diet, we actually can stimulate insulin in a much better way than when we do with carbs. This is all stuff that, as I learned, again, going carnivore and digging all this into all this stuff is kind of answered in a whole bunch of different questions for me. So, you know, we talk about ketosis isn't the goal. We don't want to be in ketosis all the time. How can we break ketosis? Well, many people are in this space right now are saying, well, you should cycle some carbs in every once in a while to break ketosis. This is a whole different conversation, right? If you get a good bolus, a good amount of protein and fat in a meal, it will help you break ketosis temporarily, which is good. We want that to happen. We want an insulin rise so that we can allow insulin to do the things that it needs to do and stimulate function in our liver, right? Help us push proteins into the cells and other things. So the combination of fat and protein are so much more important than just from a fuel perspective. I mean, I could go on. I could go on a tangent of all the different things, but metabolism, and this is one of the biggest misconceptions about metabolism when we talk about it. People think of metabolism as being fast or slow. People think of metabolism as being how I burn calories. Okay? It is neither of those things. Your metabolic function is how all of the processes in your body work to keep you alive. Okay? Your digestive system, your immune system, your central nervous system, how you breathe, okay, your reproductive organs, all of these things, how your skin grows is part of your metabolism. If any of those things are off, then you, by definition, have metabolic dysfunction. And that's where, guess what? That's what sickness is. That's where all these diseases and all of these things that we have come from. Metabolic dysfunction has nothing to do with calories, has nothing to do with fuel. So if you want to support how your body actually works, that's where we talk about adequate protein, adequate fat to keep these things running the way they need to run.
Perfect answer. And I love that you said that. You can breathe. Drink some water. No, because there's so much to unpack when we talk about, because people are hearing all this, okay? And I understand that there's a lot of confusion out there. And that's why understanding the roles of these different nutrients and what they do in the body is so important. And that's why carnivore is so great, because as you're saying, for somebody that's metabolically broken, things aren't working, carnivore is perfect for that. And pairing protein, we're also talking about fat. What is the role of fat in our body?
So same, you know, it's very similar. It's got a larger percent of it. We're talking about fuel. So, you know, we need it for hormone function. We need it, cholesterol, the building block of the cell. Like there's so many different aspects of fat that go into metabolic function. There's a reason why protein and fat are essential macronutrients, because our body needs them. It can't create protein, can't create fat. We have to ingest it in order to survive. So the other role that is often not talked about, and that is much of the protein, if we're assuming, let's make the assumption that we're talking about a whole foods-based carnivore diet or any diet, okay? The role of fat is to help the body absorb and utilize the vitamins and the minerals and the nutrients that are coming with the protein, okay? So if I eat just filet all the time, right? I love filet. I could eat filet all day long, okay? But it's a very lean cut of meat. And I will benefit from a macronutrient perspective and body composition in that I'll get a bunch of protein, I won't get as much fat, and we'll see body composition changes because it's leaner and I'm not getting as much fat, all that stuff. But I may not get as much of the nutrients into my body because I don't have as much fat that's coming with that meat. So a lot of the nutrition is fat soluble. It needs fat to be in that same time frame in order to, for your body to get access to it, right? We talk about the three things when it comes to nutrition are nutrient density, bioavailability, and satiety. I can have all the nutrition in the world. If I eat a filet, there's a ton of nutrition in a filet, but I'm not getting the bioavailability because it's lean. I'm not getting as much fat, right? So a ribeye, if I'm looking at specifically, you know, nutrient density, get as much nutrition as possible, is probably better to eat a ribeye, right? Now, that doesn't mean I can't add some other fat. Maybe I do some butter, maybe I do something else, but just the idea of keeping that, you know, understanding that you need some fat with your protein is super important for people, I think.
Absolutely. And I think that the understanding of the broader picture is quite important, but I know that people watching right now, they're thinking, tell me the number, how much should I be eating? So let's just ask that question, Bronson. How much protein do you think that people should be eating?
It's going to be different for everybody, and I don't give a specific number. I give a starting point. The biggest thing for people to understand about their own journey is that they have to be willing to experiment, pay attention, and know what's going on and how changes that they make in their life affect their results. You can't move in a direction if you don't know where it's going, okay? So start a starting point and then play around with it till you figure out what works best for you, okay? So my starting point is 1 gram per pound of lean mass. So if you weigh 200 pounds and you have 150 pounds of lean mass, right? You're 20% body, if you're 25%, you weigh 200 pounds, you're 25% body fat, okay? That means you have 150 pounds of everything on your body that's not fat. So 150 grams of protein is where I would start you. If you come to me, and this is something that happens as well, right? I have clients that come to me, they've been doing, maybe they have 120 pounds of lean mass, but they've been historically eating 80 grams of protein a day. I'm not gonna have you walk in the door and say, okay, now you need to eat another 40 grams a day. They're gonna flip out. Like, there's no way that's happening. So it's a progression. Let's see if we can get you up there over time. It may take you 3 months, it may take you 6 months, but we're gonna try to get you up to a higher number to support what your body is trying to do. So, and even going, you know, if someone comes to me, they've been doing 80 or 90 grams, right? Their target is, we're gonna over time build you up to 120 if that's your lean mass, right? Once they get to 100, 105, 110, they're going to start seeing some things that make them go, holy crap, this is amazing. And maybe they can be good at 105 or 110. You don't have to get to 120. That's just a guiding starting point. Let's try to get you there. Now, usually they get to 120 and they're like, oh my God, my life has changed. This is amazing. What is happening? Do they have to stay there? Not always. Sometimes they go back down to something that's a little bit less. I have some people that go higher, like, oh, let's go a little bit higher. I got some specific goals. I'm doing some activities, whatever it may be. So having a number to start with allows you to benchmark where you need to be from a sustainability perspective and where you can say, okay, at this amount, this is what's happening. At this amount, this is what's happening. I like what's happening here. I don't like what's happening here. Let's move in this direction.
Okay, so I'm thinking about the person that doesn't know their lean mass, hasn't had their body fat percentage tested ever, and doesn't have one of those fancy scales. All they do is they just weigh themselves and they're like, yep, I am 200 pounds. How much protein?
Yeah, so there, I would say, track what you're doing. And if you're not seeing the progress that you want to see, eat more. Right? If you know, most people, and I'll use this as a generalization. Most of the clients that I work with and most of the people that I talk to aren't getting enough protein. So 95% of the time or more, the solution for people is you need more protein. You're not getting enough protein. You're not able to build muscle. You need to gain weight. I work with a lot of women who need to gain weight. And I'm not talking about overall weight. I'm talking about lean mass. Right? They're lean, but they're 10, 15, 20 pounds smaller, lighter than they should be to support their function, to support their health and things like that. So, you know, in those cases, I'll have someone who comes to me and they're underweight. It's like, look, we don't even need to track. I want to know track what you're eating and just have an idea what you're eating every day, but I don't care about macros. I want you to stuff your face every day. You just need more of everything. So just eat. I don't care. Just eat until you can't eat anymore. Let's see if we can get you some increased lean mass. Go start lifting weights and do these things because that's what they need. You know, too many people have been restricting themselves in an effort to lose weight at the cost of their function and their body's ability to actually work and support life. That eating more is more often than not the actual solution.
And it's funny that you said that because that's exactly what we teach in our carnivore group. When it comes to people, and that's why I asked that question around how much protein if somebody doesn't want to track and doesn't know their body fat percentage, because we have so many people in the group that just say, okay, tell me how much protein, I don't know my body fat. So what we say, or what I say, is there's a chart called your ideal body weight. So it's your weight that you should be as per your height. It's not how much you want to weigh. It's not how much you actually are now. And it's going to give you a number. So that would perhaps be a good starting point as a measure to have your protein. And then what we also say is don't even think about the fat. If you focus on the foods, maybe the foods that we're going to talk about in a second, if you focus on the foods which are nutrient dense carnivore foods, you don't really have to think about fat so much because the fat is in that nutrient dense protein. If you hit that protein number, you're done. And you track it for 7 days, just 7 days. Seven days. It's not much. 7 days. You're like, okay, yep, I can eat this much ribeye, this much, salmon and eggs. Okay. And all the rest of it. Oh, these are the meals. And then you just do it. And life is so easy.
It's so much easier. And that's the definition of prioritizing protein. Again, the wording and how people interpret things and the perception about, you know, whatever, but prioritizing protein doesn't mean, and this is that black and white thinking that a lot of people in society have today, prioritizing protein doesn't mean you don't worry about fat. You still need fat. It's not one or the other. And I really don't understand the mindset that people have about, well, if I'm prioritizing protein, then that means I can't do it. Whoever said that? Right? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Okay, that's like saying, I'm taking my one kid to go play soccer today, and we're going to prioritize that day because he's got a soccer tournament. I'm going to ignore my other kid. No, you're bringing them. You're doing stuff. They're coming along for the ride, too. You're going to participate and have them do things. It's both of your kids together. And that's how fat and protein are. You need them both. You're not going to completely ignore one for the other.
I totally, totally get it. And I'm totally with you on that one. I do have to address something that probably some people are thinking, which is, well, what about Dr. Bright's protocol, which is one stick of butter, which is the 80-20 protocol? Where does that fit in? I actually had somebody yesterday on my group saying, I'm just new to carnivore. Shouldn't we be doing 80-20?
Yeah.
And I said, no, why?
No, why? Yeah, exactly. Great answer. Great question. Great response. I love it. Okay, here's the deal. Anytime, going back to what I said earlier, anytime you are making a nutrition decision based on a percentage of calories, you are automatically getting less nutrition. 100%. If you make an adjustment to your protein based on how much fat you're getting, you're not getting enough of one or the other. If you make an adjustment of your fat based on how much protein you're getting, you're not getting enough. Every single time you base your nutrition off a percentage, you are getting less of one of the macronutrients than your body needs, by definition. There's no way around that. There's no way around that, okay? You are, because they are not tied to each other. So for number one, for anyone to say that, there's multiple levels of this, for anyone to say that basing your nutrition off a percentage and then that is what everyone should be doing is wrong on two fronts. One, we shouldn't be basing anything off percentages, okay? And two, even if we could base things off of percentages, not everyone can be at the same percentage because we're all different. We all need different things. So for anybody to say that 80-20 is what everyone should be doing is logically incorrect. It doesn't make sense. It's not scientific. So I don't care if they're a doctor, a scientist, a professor, or whatever else. There is no single percentage that will work for the masses. Everybody is different, and you have to find what works for you based on how much protein do you need by itself and how much fat do you need by itself. Anytime, and this is what we just talked about, not prioritizing one thing over another, okay? When we talk to a lot of these doctors or other people that are on social media who are have a background in the medical or medical institutions or science, they are often focused on an aspect of health, right? I'm looking at hormone function. I'm looking at obesity. I'm looking at cardiovascular health. I'm looking at metabolic dysfunction, specific things within the realm of what I term quality of life and overall health, okay? When you look at things that are specific, the solutions are specific to the symptom being addressed, which completely leaves the root cause out of the equation. So you will always be chasing symptoms if you don't fix the problem. And the problem is adequate nutrition for metabolic support. So whether it's a menopausal thing, which I worked with dozens, almost hundreds of women who were going through menopause. I have a case study that we did last year with women through menopause who following these concepts of getting the protein and getting the fat combined with fitness, obviously, because fitness is a whole nother discussion, were able to relieve the symptoms of menopause by prioritizing protein and working out together. Okay, so the whole idea that going through menopause, you're going to get me on a soapbox now. The whole idea that going through menopause is this drastic change that you need to prioritize fat, forget the protein, don't work out too hard, all these different things, BS. Okay, metabolic function doesn't change. The requirements of what our bodies need to function doesn't change ever. Okay, from the concepts. Now, the details and how much you may need and how much to change and whatever, yes, absolutely. Our bodies go through changes, our lifestyles go through changes, but that's where being aware and being willing to experiment and test and know what's going on comes into play because things will change in your life and you need to change with it. But there's still a base requirement for protein. There's still a base requirement for fat. There's still a base requirement for physical activity, regardless of what phase of life you're in.
I love that. And it's funny that when you did the 60-day fat loss program in our group in January, do you know I was doing the one stick of butter a day?
Yeah.
Oh, you knew that. Okay. Yeah. So the whole time, like, you're talking about this protein. I'm like, yeah. And I'm just doing one stick of butter a day. And it's interesting that when I changed and I was getting more fat, I felt great. And I think that people that do the higher fat version, which is just increasing your butter, just having that fat, the fat number higher, not the percentage.
Yeah.
You do feel good, but then your external body does change.
Sure.
So adjusting those numbers is quite important. And then after that program or during the program, I kind of switched to, let me slowly. And again, it was slow.
Yes.
Because I was doing around 60 or 70 grams of protein a day. I was doing 150 grams of fat. Yes. Yes.
What?
I was doing that because I thought that was the right thing based on Dr. Boz, based on Dr. Bright and many wonderful experts that are helping a lot of people. So we're not saying that's wrong, but I'm just saying, oh, I tried it because I had 20 years of sugar addiction and I had binge eating episodes. And even still when I was doing carnivore, I wasn't feeling satisfied. The high fat journey helped me, but it's so interesting when I followed what we're talking about right now, my life changed. Stronger, more energy, sleep better, not hungry. Skin is everything is so much better when you prioritize the protein. That sounded like a sales pitch, not selling anything, but food.
Do it. Team protein all the way.
But talking about food, we're going to play a game now.
Okay.
Which is...
Do I get a prize?
We're going to go... Sorry?
Do I get a prize if I win?
There's no prize, but maybe the prize is you because everything that you provide people is so valuable, purposeful, and so insightful. So I think you are the prize for everyone.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm blushing. You can't see it, but I'm blushing.
You're most welcome. So what I have here is 10 carnivore foods that people usually eat every day. And we want to prioritize them in terms of, are they good for higher protein or are they more higher fat options? So that people can understand how much protein and fat in each. Am I going to hit my protein goals by eating these foods? Or should I kind of eat less of them because maybe it's going to be too much on the fat side.
Before we do that, can we talk about why that's an important discussion?
Go ahead.
Okay, I think understanding what you're getting when you eat is a big piece of tying your nutrition to your goals. So I know you wanted to talk about who should be doing what and everything else, but I think that's a good discussion to have before we talk about food choices, because understanding, okay, why would I want to do a filet versus a ribeye? What's the point of that, right? And I think really we'll talk about, I guess there's probably more, but just off the top of my head, let's talk about three different scenarios. One is somebody who has a high level of metabolic dysfunction, they're overweight, they have a bunch of health issues, maybe they're on a bunch of medications, things are not going well for this person. And they're transitioning into, or they just started carnivore and their body is in that change. It's an adaptation. It's doing all these different things. So there's a combination of we need to get them adapted, but we also need to help get them healthy and reduce as much inflammation and stress as possible. And that is a case for, you know, doing a higher fat, okay? Increasing your fat maybe more than you will down the road. And this is that part of the process of change. Down the road, you may not need that much fat, but initially, increasing your fat intake can help you adapt faster, okay? And it can help your body get rid of, and by get rid of, I mean because you're reducing your carb intake, you're reducing your plant intake, but you're providing a fuel source and a method of getting nutrition that is less stressful on the body. So you're helping your body heal. Now, when you're getting more fat, hopefully you're also increasing the protein. Again, we're not talking about getting more fat than protein by definition. We're talking about just increasing your fat. You still most likely will also need to increase your protein. And this is the mistake that a lot of people getting started make, is they think, well, I'm just getting started. Everyone says when you get started, you should do high fat. Absolutely. I think fat being higher than you might normally have it is nothing wrong with that. It's fine. It's great. That doesn't mean you don't also increase your protein. You still need the protein. And that the combination of increasing your protein, so being higher protein than you were, which may not fit the definition of high fat by what a lot of people are talking about, but it's higher protein than you were and higher fat than you were, which basically boils down to what? Eat more. So if you are unhealthy, if you have metabolic dysfunction, the problem in many cases is you're just not eating enough of the right things. So just eat more. Don't worry as much about what the fat percentage on the meat is. You don't need to worry about all that. Just eat more whole food, animal-based meat, fatty cuts of meat, right? That's why BBB&E is a great thing, because it's focused more on fatty meats. It's great for beginners. It's great for people getting started, right? It increases their protein. It increases their fat. It increases the satiety. It does all the, it hits, checks all the buttons for beginners. It's fantastic. At some point in time, we move into the next phase. Okay, the next phase is, okay, I've maybe reached a health goal. I've reached a weight goal. I feel better. I've lost some fat. The medications have gone down. Things, okay, now I'm realizing that I've been where I'm at for 6 months, 8 months, a year. I've been doing BBB&E, but now nothing else is improving. I've stalled, I've plateaued. I hear this every day. Okay, well then now we need to start looking at, what are you doing? Okay, your body is at a point where it's reached what I call normal human function. Right? You're not sick anymore necessarily. Maybe, again, all these issues you used to have are gone, but your body composition, your physical ability, there's still some things that you want to improve. So now we need to adjust the macronutrient intake, and we need to say, look, you don't need as much fat. Let's prioritize building now. So remember I talked about the catabolic system and the anabolic system. When we're unhealthy, we're breaking all this stuff down. We're trying to get rid of sickness and illness. We're breaking down. We need that fat to help just fix everything, break that fat down, fuel the proper systems, do what we need to do, okay? And we need that protein as well. It switches a little bit now that we're healthier, everyone's at a different place. We need to focus and make sure we're getting the protein, but we don't need necessarily as much fat. I'm fat adapted. I don't need to prime the pump anymore. My body's good at doing what it needs to do. So I don't need that extra fat to prime the pump. I don't need the extra fat because I'm active, hopefully, right? And the work that I'm doing, building muscle, being active, improving how my body functions, is going to increase the fuel consumption of my body naturally, and then it's going to start pulling that fuel from my body. So if I'm getting extra fuel from what I'm eating, now I'm fighting against myself to try to lose body fat. I don't need to do that. Okay, so now I can actually focus on, I can do things now, I can improve my metabolic function and burn the fat that's on my body. So now I'm at a different phase. I'm not trying to lose sickness, now I'm trying to lose fat. Whew, I love it, right?
I love that.
And I'm trying to build more function. So that's the second phase. So now we get into, that's more of what we call maintenance, balance. We're trying to say, okay, what's the balance? What do I need to be sustainable, improve my quality of life, everything's cool. And then the third one is really, when someone's at a point where they've gotten a problem, like me, okay? I've been doing this. It took me a few years to get healthy. It took me a few years to get physically fit and able. And I'm at a point now, I've been carnivore for 5+ years. I have no physical limitations. I have no illnesses. I have nothing that I'm dealing with that's limiting my ability to participate in daily activities. I'm at a point now where I don't have to do any of it. It's really kind of cool, okay? I get to play around and choose what I feel like doing at any given time. If I want to go for a month or 2 months and be like, look, I want to try to go focus on body composition, then I can increase my protein, drop my fat a little bit, go to the gym and hit it hard, try to build some muscle, change my shape. That's cool. No big deal. It's not going to have any adverse effect. If I'm at a point where I'm feeling stressed, right, and I got a lot of stuff going on, I haven't been able to get to the gym as much, I got stuff going on at work, or there's some family, who knows what, and it's like, you know what? I just need to chill out and try to give my body as much stress management as possible. I'm still going to get my protein. I'm never going to, and this is the key thing, I'm never going to sacrifice my protein. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. But I will increase my fat intake and say, you know what? I'm going to let my fat go up a little higher. I may put on a pound. Oh, well. Is it going to totally crush my ability to do things and my quality of life? No. But I'm going to be able to say, look, I'm not going to be as strict with my food. I'm going to eat fattier cuts. I'm going to have more bacon this month than I normally do. You know, maybe I'll throw some avocado mayonnaise on some tuna, you know, and whatever else, and not worry about my fat as much. So, but that's where the flexibility of sustainability and making choices based on what you're going through and where you're at really gets fun, because once you get to the first two phases, then you get to play around. That's where living your life comes into play.
That explanation ties perfectly into these foods, because we can categorize them into healing, getting lean, or flexibility.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go. All right. Let's start with the first one.
It's almost like we scripted this. We didn't talk at all about any of this, and it's just kind of it was awesome. I love it.
But that's why I always talk about foods, because we can talk about numbers for days. But what do people think about the food? They think of beef, chicken, turkey, pork, bacon, eggs, salmon, butter, ghee, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, well, what should I eat? Because, and so the food gives it context. That's why we're playing a game. Okay, the first one is?
Chicken breast. Bottom of the list.
Why?
Because it's almost pointless. There's no nutrition. There's higher in omega. Is it omega sixes? I always forget which one it is. It's higher in omega
six.
Linoleic acid, and it's great for protein. Okay, but again, what we talk about is the first thing on the list of what we need for nutrition is nutrient density. So if I'm going to eat something, I want as many nutrients as possible, and there really just isn't that much in chicken.
So it doesn't fit into any of the three buckets, even flexible lifestyle?
Flexible lifestyle, yeah. Like, I'll do chicken, but when I do chicken, there's two times that I do chicken. One, when I'm really feeling like I want some wings, and I get some wings, I'll go knock out some buffalo wings or something like that, right? Or if I'm mixing it with my beef, to increase the protein without increasing the fat. So a lot of times I'll do a pound of ground beef and half a pound of chicken together. So I'm getting the protein, and really the beef is providing the nutrition, the chicken is providing the protein.
I love that you said that. It's interesting, I just did an interview with Dr. Ted Naiman. So he's not carnivore or keto or paleo or anything, but he's all about prioritizing protein and satiety per calorie. So he did talk about chicken breast and said the exact same thing that you just said, which is it's great to get the extra protein. Don't rely on it for nutrients.
Exactly.
I hope that makes sense.
Yep, so, absolutely.
Okay, next one.
Ribeye. Fantastic. 1-to-1. It's probably the best steak for starters, people getting started. It can, over time, again, when you're not worried, when you get to a point where getting that extra fat isn't necessary, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Just kind of track it and kind of see, hey, is this working against me or not? Personally, I love ribeyes, but I don't eat all the fat because I'm not a fatty cut person. I just can't. There's something to texture-wise for me that eating the fat on a ribeye is like, oh, I can't do it. But Coach Nat, she'll take all my extra fat trimmings and just chow them down. Right. So, I'm much more of a leaner cut guy, but ribeye is probably, that's probably the poster meat for carnivores, right?
And it's probably going into the bucket of healing. So the first bucket, which is when you're healing, that's why people, you hear a lot of carnivores, they say, yeah, ribeye. That's the reason why, because it's got a 1-to-1 protein to fat ratio. So it's got a good amount of protein, a good amount of fat. So you're hitting the amount of protein that you need every day. You're getting plenty of fat. And that's great for healing. Mm-hmm. But with the ribeye, when you want to go to the next bucket, which is the lean bucket, as you said, you might want to reduce it a bit because you might want to reduce your fat.
Correct.
I hope that makes sense to everyone. Next one.
Turkey. Right above chicken. Right above chicken. Pretty much all the poultry. Unless it's like, I don't know the specifics, but I think duck is a little bit better if you had a choice. I like duck personally. But in general, the poultry stuff what's the point?
Add it as an extra. You want some more protein?
It's extra. Yeah.
Let's say that you've got some ribeye, it's 3 to 4 ounces. And then you're like, you know what? I want to have an ounce or two of turkey or chicken.
Yeah.
It's like your side of, I'm not going to say the ch word because we're going to talk about the ch word soon. Let's go to the next one.
Protein powder. Oh my gosh. Last resort, even after chicken, right? Because it's not real food. So anytime you're doing something, or, different use cases. If you're looking to eat protein and get protein in for what you need every day, protein powder is not even in the discussion. Okay? You cannot replace real food with protein powder, number one. Number two, If you're looking to have a healthy option to maybe flavor your coffee, or you need something, you know, just to tide you through the day, and you're not counting it as this is a meal, okay? I use protein powder in my coffee pretty much every day, right? I have a vanilla beef protein. I have a chocolate beef protein. So I'll do a mocha sometimes. I'll do a cream sometimes, use it as a cream. But I don't count that as this is a meal, right? I track it in my total protein intake, but it's not something that I look at as I need to do this to get my protein for today. It's on top of the food that I'm eating to get the protein that I need. So that real food is always a priority.
So it's like the chicken and the chicken breast and the turkey. It's the extra that you can add just to get more protein,
yeah.
But you don't want to look at it for your foundation correct. Nutrient base. And especially if you're in number one, which is the healing bucket.
Yeah. Well, and that's a whole, don't even get me started on that. People that are beginning, that are doing shakes instead of real food for fat, that's, yeah, no.
And I think many people watching this, they're in the, I'm guessing, leave it in the comments. Are you in the healing side of things? Are you in the leaner side of things, like wanting to lose the body fat but healed? Or are you in the flexible lifestyle? But I'm guessing that many people, they're in the, I want to heal, but I also want to lose weight. So you have to do like one, two, three.
Yeah. And one of the things that I see people get stuck in is using shakes as meal replacements when they're in the healing phase and not seeing the progress that they want to see for multiple reasons. But number one, it's because they're thinking that the shakes will help them lose weight. Okay? You guys have to remember that excess weight is a symptom of a broken metabolism. The only way to fix your metabolism is with the most natural sources of nutrition that you can possibly get. There is not a single thing that is man-made that is going to be better for your body and metabolic function than natural whole foods, period.
Let's talk about natural whole foods, because some people eat a lot of...
Oh, gosh.
Right.
Well, technically, okay, so here, technically, cheese is not a natural whole food. It's a processed dairy product. Man has to manipulate milk in order to make cheese. So cheese is not a whole food. Okay, it is not, you don't naturally go out in the wild and find cheese. Not going to happen. So if it messes you up, again, what's your progress? If you eat it, does it cause issues? Some people have gut issues. Some people break out in rashes or have skin, you know, acne, things like that. They have reactions. Other people have different types of responses, right? Gut issues, whatever else. Weight gain is a big piece. Our bodies are not really, again, designed to function optimally in many cases when it comes to dairy. Can it process dairy? Some people can, some people can't. That doesn't mean your body is designed to do it efficiently or optimally. So that's an individual thing.
Exactly. And add it on to your extras after you've got the really good golden nutrient foods. Add it on top, which is just a bit of cheese on the side. It's like a dessert.
Yes. And that's like my example. Like I'll do cheese a couple, maybe once a month, I'll go for 2 or 3 days where I have some cheese and then I have to stop because my body doesn't really like cheese. I love cheese. Okay. My body doesn't really appreciate it at all. So if I do more than a day or two, then I have issues for about a week, but I have to say, okay, this is enough. I'm good. I'll wait a month or two before I have some more.
I love that you said that because we're going to talk about quality of life and fitness. Because I know that many people probably listening, they're like, oh, really? I can't have my dairy. I can't have my cheese and then coffee and all the other things. This is so restrictive. But we're going to talk about changing the mindset around really what is restriction and what is freedom and what is living your best life, how carnivore can help with that. It's all a mindset piece, which I know you've spoken about at length, which I love, but we're going to talk about that a little bit later. The next one is gold.
Oh, that is gold. Eggs are the golden nuggets of nature. There's everything that you need in eggs. Nat and I were just talking a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, and we were like, we realized we do 5 dozen eggs a week between the two of us, right? five dozen eggs a week. We buy about 60 eggs. We go shopping weekly for eggs, mostly just for eggs. It's like, yeah, we have some meat. We'll grab some more meat too, but we're really going because we ran out of eggs. We need more eggs.
Eggs is really, really good for the healing and even for the number two, which is if you want to get lean as well. It's great for everything.
Eggs is a staple. Something that if you can tolerate eggs, you need to have eggs in your food, in your meals every single day. Without a doubt. That is a minimum. You got to do that.
Some people on their eggs, they put a lot of this.
Butter. Within reason. I mean, I love butter. I've actually, because of what I'm doing right now. So I go through phases. Sometimes I'm higher fat than normal. Sometimes I'm lower. Right now I'm going through I'm trying to do some specific things body composition wise. So I've dropped my fat down a little bit. So the eggs that I eat now, I just cook in whatever fat is left over from the meat that I cook. Okay. Previously, just as, you know, as recent as a month ago, I was doing probably almost a complete stick of butter every day with the eggs that I was eating, right? I would put three tablespoons of butter in the pan. I would cook the eggs, scramble them up in the pan, and then I would put a couple tablespoons on the plate, which was really awesome. Put the hot eggs on top of the butter on the plate. And then let it melt and then kind of mix the scrambled eggs up on it. Oh, God, it was put some bunch of salt on it. Oh, so good. But then I got to the point where it was like, hey, my body fat was going up and up and up. I went from like 11% body fat to 13% body fat over like a 3-month period. And I was like, okay, time to stop. Chill out on the fat, chill out on the butter. Let's go back to, you know, being a little more lean. But yeah.
I just want to preface what you just said by Bronson trying the one stick of butter a day doesn't mean that you should, well, one stick of butter for a period of time because it was delicious. He didn't decrease his protein and he did put on a bit of body fat and then he just lowered it down. So it's okay to trial and error, but just because I do something, Bronson does something, somebody else does something, doesn't mean that you have to do something. And if you do the one stick of butter a day or half a stick or add this or add that, you never decrease your protein. So the protein number never changes, but if you increase the fat or the butter, you do not decrease the protein.
Yes.
Because I think people think, I'm doing more fat. I should just secretly decrease the protein.
No.
Please don't do that.
Don't do that.
Okay, next one.
Bacon. I love bacon. For the fattier side of things, like when I'm in a cut or when I'm trying to manage my body composition better, I tend to stay away from bacon. I tend to stay away from pork rinds, things like that. But I love bacon. I know some people are like, what about nitrates? Just eat the freaking meat, right? It's not that big a deal.
I agree. So for people that are healing, bacon is absolutely fantastic. But here's a question. Once you've healed, you're off your medications, you feel fantastic, and you want to start leaning down, do you think bacon is still great?
It can be, but again, it all fits in what's the big picture. What else are you eating? Is it helping you? Is it hurting you? That's the question. The only rule in this whole discussion, the only rule, the one thing that everyone absolutely has to follow is their individual progress. Is it working or is it not? That's the only thing that matters. So wherever you're trying to go, you have to evaluate what you're doing and is it helping? So bacon may be something you can bring into the next phase of your journey. Maybe it's something that you keep, but you just don't do it as much, right? And that's the other thing is stop looking at things as black and white. It's not, I can't ever have this again. It's maybe having it every day for breakfast isn't going to work for me. Maybe I need to have it twice a week if I still want bacon, right? You got to figure out how you can make it sustainable and how you can make it work. It doesn't mean everything is on or everything is off all the time. Stop being so drastic.
I love that. Another food that is great, especially for healing.
Oh man, lamb is amazing. I'm so glad you put that on there.
It's one of your favorites.
Absolutely.
That's Bronson's favorite food,
yep.
Lamb.
Yep. Lamb with some garlic salt or something like that. Oh, so good, so good. Yeah, it's right up there with any other kind of beef or ruminant. It's fattier than most. I think it's close to like an 80%. I think it's close to like an 80% ground beef as far as fat content. So if you're, you know, it can also be in any phase. Okay. And that's one of the cool things about these is when you're putting all these different foods out there, understanding what you're eating, you can combine all of these in any order that you want to come up with the profile of your fat and protein that you need for the day. And I work with people like doing that all the time. I like to tell people that, you know, start your day or end your day. If you're ending your day, get in your chronometer, get in MyFitnessPal, whatever app you're using to track your food, or just a piece of paper, and write down what you're going to eat the next day and play around with, okay, this is fattier, this is more protein, this is leaner, this is, you know, whatever. Put all that stuff down so you know going into the day what you're eating ahead of time, right? I tell people, like for me, usually in the mornings or sometime during the day, I'll go in a chronometer and just put in ahead of time for the day what I plan on eating to make sure that the profile of what I'm looking at. And I may have a ribeye, but if I have a ribeye for lunch, I'm not going to have a ribeye for dinner. Right? I may have a ribeye for lunch and then do tuna with some eggs in the evening for dinner because that's going to be less fatty. I got a bunch of my fat for the day in my first meal. I don't need as much fat for the day in my second meal to manage the overall composition of my macros for the day. So you can plug all of the, so technically we're talking about the different categories these foods fit in, but technically you could put them in any combination, regardless of what phase you're in.
Exactly. And the way that you do that is to have the numbers that you want to hit. Say, for example, the protein, let's just say it's 150 grams of protein. And let's just say it's 100 grams of fat. That sounds pretty good. And then you just say, oh, okay, some lamb. And then I've got some bacon. You see, lamb and the bacon, they're both high fat. So then once you put it into the macro calculator, you're like, oh, wow, that's quite a good amount of protein. It could be 40, 50, 60 grams, but look at the fat. It's actually quite high. And then once you have that, like say your next meal, which is 80, 20 ground beef, your fat grams are going a little bit higher. So that's why playing around with it, you could pair, like for example, salmon and shrimp. You could do, so what I love to do is to do a fatty with a lean. It's just perfect.
That's what
it works
all the time.
Easy.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, I don't have to think so much. So maybe I might do an 85, 15 ground beef with some eggs. Yep. One or two eggs.
Yeah, I like the suggestion of doing a fatty with a lean. I do, like I said before, I do ground beef and chicken together often to try to bring that that protein profile up. I do ground beef and ground turkey. So I like to mix. I'll take, you know, we get the big packages of ground beef. We get the big packages of turkey. I'll cook up a couple pounds at a time, mix them together. Right. So the turkey is like 95-93% and the fat and the ground beef is like 85% or 88 or something like that. So it's a little higher in fat. Mix the two together, I get a good combination of, you know, lower fat, higher protein, and it kind of fits what I'm doing. There are times where, again, you know, I want to be a little bit higher fat, so I'll do lamb and eggs together. You know, if I'm feeling froggy, I might go higher fat for a day, you know. So mixing things together, I think, is a fantastic idea.
This one is carnivore. This is the last food. Carnivore, but it's a mixture of carbs, fat, and no protein.
Oh, gosh. Oh, raw milk, do it. All day
do
long. It is a natural, whole food, animal product. It is
I'm not shocked. Processed.
Absolutely. Raw milk is actually one raw, unpasteurized, actual raw milk has a bunch of benefits that I would recommend most people do. In many cases, it is not an issue for digestion. It has a ton of things in it that the body can actually use. It's high in enzymes. It's high in a bunch of natural things. Like the thing about raw milk that people don't understand is it comes with the things that your body needs to help break it down. So it's naturally there for your body to utilize. Now, there's a bunch of debate. Some people are like, well, humans are the only people that ever drink milk past adulthood, blah, blah. It's great. It is one of the, it's a great source of protein. It's got a ton of nutrition. And I highly recommend that most people get it.
I'm really surprised by that. I really thought that you wouldn't like it.
Yep.
That's good. I'm learning something new. I might try some raw milk when I'm in Switzerland next week. Yeah.
Particularly for people that are trying to build muscle, because the proteins that are in raw milk are much more absorbable than a lot of other sources.
Perfect. Well, that is the 10 foods out of the way. So I think that what we've spoken about so far, and by the way, we're not finished yet, so don't click off the video. I think what we've spoken about so far, which is the higher fat and the higher protein, but another higher fat versus higher protein, another thing that a lot of people, when they first start carnivore, they might have to do some troubleshooting, have some side effects. So I want to talk about briefly the common, very common side effects that somebody might get when they first start carnivore and your advice to help people handle them. What is the most common side effect that somebody's going to experience the first few days, first few weeks of carnivore?
Depending on where they're coming from, but it's common for most people, that's just energy. Just not have feeling like, I can't do anything. Everything sucks. I don't even want to get out of bed, whatever it may be. And the biggest, most of the things, when we talk about just feeling, I think a lot of the issues can be resolved just from electrolytes. So the solution to energy is more sodium, more potassium, primarily sodium. Sodium is kind of a fix-all for a lot of the electrolyte imbalances or deficiencies. So increasing your sodium intake is going to go a long way towards helping you transition, as well as increasing your fat a little bit, right? The process of adaptation is really just about improving the efficiency of your body to access alternate fuel. Okay, and electrolytes help with that. Electrolytes are the catalysts for energy transfer and having more energy to actually utilize, eating a little bit more fat is going to help in that process as well. So helping your body adapt by increasing your fat intake and increasing your sodium intake is probably the two biggest things there.
The next one that I hear a lot is nausea.
Nausea.
And just sick, yes. Nausea from eating a lot of meat or just sick of eating a lot of meat.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There's two different things. Sick of eating a lot of meat is all up here. Okay. Nausea from eating a lot of meat can be up here, but a lot of often that's just, you're not used to doing it. So it's a matter of, okay, going to carnivore doesn't mean you have to go from not eating hardly any meat to eating 2 pounds of meat a day. Okay. Just like anything else, we get this jump where everyone wants to jump across the line, take a step, start small. Maybe you don't even start with meat. Maybe it's just increase your egg consumption. That could be a way to get started. It doesn't have to always be meat. What is the meat that you don't mind eating, right? Maybe it's pepperoni that you start eating. Whoever told you that, right? If you want to start carnivore and you're finding it hard to eat a ribeye every day, okay, go get some pepperoni, eat some pepperoni. It's better than French fries, right? So find something. The key is always, what are you able to do that's going to be sustainable? If it's not working, find a different option.
I love that. I even say to people, transition slowly to carnivore. So when I did carnivore, I was doing keto for a long time and I really slowly stopped my nuts and stopped the avocado, like from half an avocado to then a quarter to an eighth. I was really slowing it down. And that just not only helped with the side effects, but also helped with the palate and the energy and the getting used to just eating animal products without any plant products. So even a slower transition can help because, as Bronson is saying, it's not about that final destination, I am carnivore. It is about doing it slowly, doing a good transition so that your body has time to adjust. Another side effect that people get is leg cramps.
That's all electrolytes. 90% of the time. I think that's, it can be a lot of different things, but I think for many people, magnesium is a fix for that, my understanding is that in the general population, not even carnivore, is that magnesium is one of the most deficient minerals that people have. So even if you're not on carnivore, you probably should be supplementing magnesium. And that's a big thing. That's a huge thing for a lot of people.
I think those were the three main, I think, troubleshooting or side effects. Have you heard of anything else that people go through?
No, most of the other issues are mental. Mindset, perception, not mental as in people are mental, but mindset, perception, limiting beliefs, things they think they can do or can't do, or they're used to doing something a certain way and it's hard for them to change that habit or routine, things like that. But from a physical perspective, those are probably the most common.
Well, that is a great segue to the last thing that we're going to talk about today, which is the mindset piece of carnivore. As Bronson's mantra is, focus on your quality of life, not the fat loss.
Yes.
Can you elaborate more on that for people?
The things that are causing you to want to try carnivore are not the things that you're trying to fix. Wait, what? How does that work? Okay. A lot of people say, I'm trying to lose weight. I need to get off this medication. All of the different things that people list and why they started carnivore. The realization of the impact of carnivore and how it's changing your life isn't found in weight loss. It isn't found in the reduction of medication. It isn't found in the healing of disease. It's found in the impact of fixing how your body functions and what it enables you to do down the road. That is the impact of carnivore. Right? We, you know, people all the time, I came for the weight loss and I stayed for this, right? Whatever it may be. Nobody wakes up in the morning randomly and says, I want to lose 50 pounds. It just doesn't happen. What happens is there is a series of events over months, years, decades that has made you think that the weight you're trying to lose is the problem that you're having in life. There's something about your life that you're not happy with. There's something about your self-image that you're not happy with. There's something about your lack of independence that you're not happy with. There's something about the confidence that you have in your physical ability that you're not happy with. And you think that if I lose the weight, if I get to my ideal body weight, that all of those things will be fixed. And then at some point down the road, you realize it has nothing to do with the weight. It has to do with your quality of life, because that's really what we're talking about. Your physical independence, your self-image, your confidence, how you perceive yourself, and your ability to participate in the world and in life. Life is an action verb. So the more things that you're able to do and the better your body functions, the better your life will be. And none of that has anything to do with weight. So when we talk about quality of life, we're talking about how does the carnivore diet impact your ability to enjoy and experience life. That is what it's about.
And quality of life is also about the freedom to do whatever you want to do, how fast paced you want to do it. And that ties into what we spoke about earlier, which is a lot of people think carnivore is restrictive. Actually, it's quite the opposite. It's the most freeing thing you'll ever do in your life.
The idea of restriction, I think it boggles my mind a little bit, because I think people don't think this through. The idea that restriction is the path to freedom. Okay, I want people to think about this. There's two directions we'll come to this from. One is, let's look at cars in the road and traffic, driving places, okay? I can drive from Baltimore, Maryland to LA anytime I want to, but I have to stay on the roads. I have to follow the traffic laws. I have the freedom to go anywhere in this country that I want to go within the bounds of the laws that keep me safe and make sure that I get to my end destination without killing myself or other people. Okay? It's the same when it comes to our journey. Restriction is the path to get where you want to go, because it keeps you moving in the direction that you're trying to go. If we didn't have restriction, we would be over here, we'd be over there, we'd be in a ditch on the side of the road, we'd be running into other cars, whatever it may be. Okay? Restriction allows the freedom to move in the direction that you have decided you want to move. Without that, where would you be going? Nowhere, which is exactly where you're going now. Okay, so that's one angle to look at it. The other angle to look at it is, what is restriction? Okay, if you have kids or you have a pet, okay, do you have a fence in your yard to keep those kids or your pet from running out in the street or running away from the house? You put a fence up to protect the things that you care about. Okay? We lock the door in our homes every night because we don't want people coming in and robbing us or hurting our family. We wear seat belts so that we stay safe when we're driving our car. There's so many things in our lives that we restrict or put in a box to protect because we care about them. They mean something to us. Why are we then bucking against the idea of restricting ourselves? Do we not care about ourselves? Right? I care about myself, so I'm going to protect myself along my journey. That is exactly what we're talking about. So if you're okay putting a fence up in your backyard to keep your kids safe, then why are you worried about not eating X, Y, or Z food? Because it's hurting you. It's hurting you. Okay, and that's the two kind of directions that I look at restriction from.
Thank you so much for coming back on the channel.
Thanks for having me. I love doing this.
I absolutely love it as well. Where can people find you if they want to hear from you more?
Yeah, so my website is coachbronson.com. All my stuff is there. If you want to go to my YouTube channel, it's YouTube. It's at coach.bronson. And that's the same as my Instagram, coach or at coach.bronson. And that's where most of my stuff is.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Bronson. Sure. And I'm sure we're going to see you very soon.
Awesome. Thanks.